Important dates in Christian history. 590 AD. Gregory becomes Pope Gregory I, known as the Great. He made treaties with Germanic tribes, independent of the emperor, and declared the Bishop of Rome's primacy over the whole church, increasing the political and spiritual power of the papacy significantly. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Witness Wednesday. It's Wretched Radio. I'm at Georgia Tech. Hey, young man.
Yes, sir.
Could I interrupt you just for a minute and talk to you? On the what are you working on? I had that cell phone. I miss my, because it's got big numbers and I miss that one.
Nice.
It is nice. All right, dude, can I push your stuff over?
Yeah.
All right, so tell me on the radio, what exactly are you doing here at Georgia Tech? What are you studying?
I'm a chemical engineer, first year. Right now I'm doing biology homework and probably shouldn't be chatting with people, but I am anyway.
Can't help yourself.
Can, but...
Are you a disciplined guy?
Yeah.
For the most part?
For the most part.
I want to ask you a question about the weather.
Okay.
All right? I don't know if this has to do with biology or not, but we just had a ton of rain here in Georgia. Lots of rain. Lots of devastation. Some bad things happening. Some people dying. Who do you think is responsible for the weather?
Well, according to the weatherman on CNN, it was a high-pressure front over the East Coast.
And if they say it on CNN...
No, not
it's
necessarily,
true.
But
yeah,
I was looking up weather pictures of the flooding. That was the picture.
So do you think weather just happens by itself, or is there somebody in charge of the weather department?
Don't really have a stance on that issue.
All right. Here's what I'm trying. Do you think that there's a God who controls the weather? Maybe.
Possibly. No evidence for or against scientific my scientific mind won't let me choose either side.
You're an empiricist, are you?
Yes.
Is there something inside of your non-scientific mind that goes, yeah, I think so?
Yeah, I've had those thoughts before.
Well,
I just don't buy into religion.
No. I think, and you'll have to tell me if I'm right on this, but I think I've got some empirical proof that God exists.
Okay.
You ready for this one?
Shoot.
Your feet are on it right now.
The Earth?
Yeah. An organized system demands that there was an organizer. Besides, all the stuff had to come from someplace. The energy, the power, the design had to come from somewhere. It doesn't happen by itself. It breaks the laws of thermodynamics. Things don't get better. They get worse.
Actually,
stuff
doesn't break the law of thermodynamics, but there's a whole lecture behind that. So,
thanks for keeping it simple for me. Okay, but things usually don't go from disorder to order, do they?
Well,
from explosion to... construction?
They can. Depends on how far you're willing to get into the actual theoretical side of physics. However, I've always kind of held the view of current theory says explosion to crunch to explosion again. And you go back far enough, eventually there's something else there.
There has to be an infinite, an unmoved mover.
Technically, yes.
Okay. So then the question is, who is the unmoved mover?
That is the million-dollar question that everyone tries to answer and gets into more trouble every time they do.
So let's give this unmoved mover a generic name. I'm not saying which one, whether it's Islam or Christianity, but how's about God?
We can give him the name.
Is that okay?
Greeks have used it, Norse have used it.
Sure, fair enough.
Yeah, everyone's used it.
So now, if we've established empirically that there is a God, there's an unmoved mover, the question is, who is that God? And maybe, even perhaps an equally interesting question would be, what does he want, this God? Is there any sort of purpose, plan?
No. He's whoever you want him to be.
Really?
Yes. He's whomever you want him to be. Think about it empirically. If you're an all-powerful being, by definition, God is omnipotent and omnipresent. Yeah. All-knowing, all-seeing, can do anything.
Righto.
What is a human being to you? Exactly.
Puny.
Exactly.
Dirt.
So, to us as a human, God is what we want him to be. If you need him to have a plan for you, he can. But when I try and put myself in his shoes, which might be a little bit overreaching on my part, being only an 18-year-old, but... when I try and think about it in that form, I really see him more as someone who said, okay, we're going to let it run, but I'm not really all that interested in the outcome.
It sounds to me like you might be a postmodern. Are you familiar with the term? Philosophical
in
mindset.
Literature, yes. Not necessarily in philosophy.
Well, it's similar in that you can determine what is truth, and it's actually true for you as long as you believe it. Now, I can believe completely different, and it can be entirely contradictory, but we're both right, even though we flat-out contradict one another. That's postmodernism.
As far as philosophy goes, that surprises me,
because an empiricist like you, I wouldn't think, would think like that. For instance, what's 2 plus 2?
5 for large values of 2.
Stop it! What's 2 plus 2?
4.
Okay, if I said it's 17...
I'd say you're incorrect by the laws.
Thank you
of math.
For that. Okay. Because I've got the wrong answer. I've got the wrong number. I'm not right just because I believe it.
Yes. And in an empirical sense, science, math, history to a point, yes.
But I would say God too, though. Here's why. Because if he exists, then he either is that or he isn't. It's not what I fancy him to be. The intensity of my belief doesn't make God a certain thing or exist or not exist.
All right.
He is what he is. And then the question, of course, is, what is he? Who is he? I'd like to suggest that we can figure it out to a degree.
To a degree, right. Yes.
Because I think you'll agree with this. As we look around at the bugs and the slugs and the butterflies and bees, we're the best thing there is on this planet.
Yes, I will agree that humans are top of the...
Now, let's take a look just at us, and maybe if we are created by this unmoved mover, we look at us and we go, okay, we're relational. Chances are pretty good this God is relational. If we're communicating beings, he's probably communicating. We're logical. We have reason. There's intellect, certainly not as much as his, but he must have all of those things. We like to create. He must be a creator kind of God. So we can learn a lot about who this being is just by looking at nature. We can look at what happened with that rainstorm. He's powerful. He's big. He makes big bangs, thunder in the sky. Not big bang, big bang. Don't get all excited. He makes all kinds of weather happen. He's created the whole universe. He's a big God. I know a lot about this God now. Now, I don't know who it is yet, but I know a lot about him.
You've made conjecture based off what you've seen.
But it's pretty good conjecture, don't you think?
To a point, yes.
All right, now I'm going to conjecture some more. And I'm going to go after another part of your brain. I'm going to go after your conscience right now.
Shoot.
That little courtroom in your brain that says, I've done very bad things. All right? For instance, have you told lies in your lifetime?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've gotten in trouble for them.
That's right, because it's wrong. Now, because you've told lies... If I told lies, what would you call me? What name would you give to me? Rhymes
probably
with
a
pants
liar.
On fire. That's exactly right. Okay. So you're a liar.
In the past, yes.
Everything's in the past. Have you ever stolen anything?
Probably.
Okay. If you've stolen something, that would make you a...
Thief.
Correct. A little trickier. Lust. Looking at women. Sexual desire.
I'm a teenager, absolutely.
You are indeed correct, sir. All right, because God looks at what's going on inside of your heart. Don't have to do the act. Now, I grant you, committing the act is worse than thinking about it. But God, because he's so high and holy and big, sees into your brain, and he knows what's going on, and he sees lust as adultery of the heart. Same thing with murder. You don't have to kill somebody, but if you've just been really mad at somebody unjustly, you think they're an idiot, you've called them bad names, committed murder in your heart, because God goes deeper than just the physical acts. He goes into our heads, and he knows what we're thinking, because it's a heart issue, and he sees our heart. Okay, speaking of God, have you ever taken his name in vain, used God's name in a bad way?
No.
Ever?
Nope.
Okay, has God always been first in your life, though?
No.
Okay, because that's the first commandment, that you should love him. He should be first above all things. And so every time you've eaten a meal and you didn't thank him, you haven't thanked him for air or for a nice day, you've really not been a grateful creation. Okay? So now, let's say at the age of 18, you were to die, and God opened the books up on your life. Everything you've ever done, every deed done in darkness, whether it's looking at stuff on the computer, thinking things, doing things, failing to do things, would he think you're a good person or a bad person?
That depends on how you want to define stuff. In the most absolutely moralistic sense, no, I have not been the greatest of all people. No one is. No one can be perfect.
I don't disagree with you. But just you.
But
morally, have you been pure?
But can you claim that you did not do any of those?
Dude, I would be guilty so fast. Trust me. I would be very, very guilty. That's the problem of humanity. That's the great problem of humanity. I think most people, they just know there's a God. And the question that I think they intrinsically have, and that's why I think we see a lot of attempts at religion, for better or for worse, what do I need to do to be made right with this God? That's the big question. This, I just know it in my brain, in my heart, I know I've done bad things. I know it, and I know there's a God, and I'm in big trouble. So the question is, what must I do to be made right with God?
Balance your checkbook in your own way.
That is a possible option, but consider a criminal standing before the judge who says, "Judge, yes, I've picked the crime. I've stolen, I've embezzled, whatever it happens to be. But judge, I gave 10% to charity." The judge says, "I don't care. In fact, I don't even care if you gave 100%. You still stole it. You're guilty, and your supposed good deeds do not tip the scales." You can't do something to make up. You're a criminal.
I can see where you're coming from in that. When I say balance your checkbook in your own way, for you, choosing a religion that you go through the process.
All right. All right, dude. I'm enjoying this. I got to take a break for just a second. Go ahead and take a second. We'll come back and we'll finish this up.
Okay.
Georgia Tech on Wretched Radio. Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the realities of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Esther is the story of a Jewish woman who becomes queen of Persia. After a plot to destroy the Jews is uncovered, Esther risks her life to save her people. She appeals to the king, who kills the conspirators and allows the Jews to defend themselves. When you face persecution, Remember, God is able to save his people through all kinds of circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Learning means gift from God.
Learning something new every day here on Wretched Radio at Georgia Tech. I'm talking with, what does your name mean, Ian?
Ian means gift from God.
And you said that's a little ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, considering my current stance. But
all right, you're an empiricist. You're a smarty pants guy. When you're in high school, you're like the guy who knows everything.
Yeah.
Did you get beat up because of that?
No. I also have a second degree black belt. People don't take
seriously. Honestly. So
honestly.
You could just like snap me in a heartbeat, couldn't you?
I wouldn't want to.
All right, now I'm curious. All right, let's say I'm a woman.
All right.
And some thug got a bad vibe about this guy, comes up and says something bad or get into my car. What should a woman do?
If you have a cell phone, pull out. You don't even have to call anyone, but open it up, act like you're talking to someone.
I've always heard, Ian, that if you just act like you're not somebody to be messed with, they're not going to mess with you, as a
that,
rule.
That depends.
Okay.
In a small town situation, yeah, that's probably right. If you're in a big city like Atlanta, and I've lived in Memphis for most of my life, and that's another big city. If you're in a city with gangs, looking like you're someone not to be messed with could almost
be worse.
Signing your own death
warrant.
Okay,
okay, I think I figured out why you're into this karate business. You're from Memphis.
Yes.
Elvis was into karate.
I actually trained under his sensei.
What do you know? It's a small world. So he taught Elvis. Did you ever see Elvis practice karate? I mean, on videotape, obviously. You weren't born when he was...
No, I was... I've seen pictures. I've not seen videotape.
Mm-hmm. Was it based on what you've heard? Did they give him the black belt because he was Elvis?
No.
Or did he earn it?
He earned it.
Really?
He earned it.
Oh, man. You got to go to YouTube, some of those videos of him on stage doing karate.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that he was really attached to the planet at that time.
Probably not.
Something special to behold in a light blue jumpsuit.
I'll have to go check it out. Right.
Okay, so Ian, whose name means gift of God, mm-hmm. when we left things off, I was trying to be your accuser.
Yes.
And to demonstrate that you're guilty, and that even if you tried to bribe the judge and say, Judge, here's $100, you've just made it worse. Judge, I've done some good things. You should let me go. He's not, because you're still guilty of the crime. You, like the rest of us, Ian, would be found guilty. And if God is just, he's going to give us what we deserve. Typically known as hell.
Yes. Or in the Catholic sense, purgatory. But
yeah, in the Catholic sense. I just don't think it's in the Bible.
No. Most of what any religion preaches actually isn't.
Besides, well, I think this is in the Bible. Besides, I think the idea of Jesus dying on a cross contradicts the whole idea of purgatory. Here's why. If Jesus is the God-man, fully God, fully man, whose purpose was to come to this earth to live the life that you and I couldn't live, to keep all the laws that you and I broke so quickly, we can't keep them for a second, he kept them for a lifetime, so that he could be seen as perfectly fulfilling righteousness on our behalf, to be beaten. Basically, the Bible says he was so beaten, you couldn't even tell he was a human being. To die on a cross, to be the payment for your sin and my sin.
Yes.
That's what the Bible teaches, right?
I'm aware of that story.
Now,
yes.
If Jesus is indeed fully God and fully man who died to forgive your sins, he died to forgive all of them, and you can't do anything to make better in purgatory. You don't need to have your sins worked off. He did everything for you. And if you can do something to make up for it, then he gets robbed of his atoning work that he did on your behalf. So purgatory doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I was just bringing up
the other side
of the coin.
Okay, so here's the deal. Based on the Bible, Jesus is that, the God-man who died for you
mm-hmm.
so that you could have your sins forgiven. The just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous.
Yes, I'm aware
aware of that deal.
I've read that story, yes.
Dude. That's, like, huge good news for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you believe that?
Not really. Thought about it at different points. I look at that, and actually your terminology, the God-man, is one of the reasons I don't buy into... I've never said I don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe in any religion, which is a little bit different than most... people will argue. But the idea of the God-man, you define God as omnipotent and omnipresent, etc.
Yep.
yet you define man as the perfectly failable being.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we strive, that thought is still there.
Yeah.
And except in a very few, very extreme cases.
Everybody. Gandhi, he recognized he was a sinner.
Yeah. But it's going to be there regardless. If you have something that is all-powerful and something that is,
yeah,
for the sake of the argument, all-corrupting, but it's not power.
Good thinking, man. Okay.
You put them together...
And you're going to have a problem.
And you have something that cannot exist.
Good on you for thinking like that. Let me just tell you, though, that's actually an argument for that being true. Here's why. You've got God, who's in heaven, who's perfect, very angry at you for being a lawbreaker, all right? But he's good, and he wants to rescue you, but he's just, so there's got to be a perfect sacrifice. Now, you need to be represented to that God. So here's what we've got. We need the perfect sacrifice, and the only perfect sacrifice for you would be God. And to have a representative to have the goodness that he does apply to your account needs to be a human being. And so the fancy term for it theologically is the ontological nature of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. It's the only thing that could possibly work. Fully God and fully man to be the perfect sacrifice and to be the perfect representative for you. It has to be both. Now, how do we get rid of that corruption issue, though? That's a very good point. Because Jesus wasn't born in sin. It was a supernatural event that happened. I know it's a miracle and you're an empiricist, but if God can make a world, he can do this. So that he would be an uncorrupted nature, but tempted just like you and me, but by the power of God and the Holy Spirit, he lived a perfect life as a man, fully God, fully man, two 100% things in one human being, because it's the only solution that there is, and it can happen because of the miraculous nature of the incarnation when Jesus came to this earth. So that's a good question, but the Bible resolves it for you. It can happen, but only God can do it. And it's the only thing that can help you from your situation, which is God's mad at you, and you need to have yourself a representative who's perfect.
All right, I can understand the...
Theologically, it works very well. Okay, so Ian, look, you got stuff to do today, but you're on this campus, and you're young, and you're thinking things through, which is good, and it's important. But you're a man now. And you should get this resolved, because if what I'm saying to you is true, as you sit on this bench, if you died, you are in very big trouble. Very big trouble.
By your argument, yes.
Because it won't be me as your accuser. It will be God as your accuser. And he's never wrong. And to stand before God on Judgment Day is something you really don't want to experience. You really don't. Because the Bible says he's going to grind you to powder. You're just dealing with omnipotent and omniscient is very a frightening thought indeed. But this day, he comes in peace to offer reconciliation. If you will humble yourself, is what you've got to do. Confess he's God, you're not, and you've sinned against him in countless ways. And to apologize, basically I'm describing repentance for you, and put your trust in him and him alone as the true and only God. And he promises that work that Jesus did for you will be credited to your account. Not a Catholic idea. This is a biblical idea.
Yeah, no, I know.
His goodness credited to you, your badness credited to him. The great exchange. So that you can be adopted into God's family, and he will grant you everlasting life and complete forgiveness of sins. And it doesn't mean you won't go on to be a geeky biology, physics, whatever thing it is that you're doing, but he will be the priority of your life. He's going to realter your priorities because he's the highest priority there is. So God offers you forgiveness and everlasting life today. Please just think about it today. I know you got distractions and busy stuff, but this is very important. I'm guessing you wouldn't sell me one of your eyes for $1 million, would you?
Actually, if I could get $1 million out of one of these poor eyes,
pathetic, are they? Okay, how's about $2 million for both of your eyes?
Got other senses.
So you'd be willing to sell me your eyes for $2 million?
I'm $2 million better off, which goes to paying
you
for
can't,
this.
Dude, you would be the first person I've ever asked that question to has said yes. You would sell me your precious eyes for $2 million.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think, if your eyes are worth $2 million, what do you think your soul is worth?
To quote the rather funny commercials, and I'm sure that's the answer
priceless.
You're looking for.
Priceless. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his very soul? So it's good to be smart, but be wise. Think these things through. Read the Bible. You've got a copy of that, right?
I have a copy. I also have a copy of the Quran and the Apocrypha and
you can
the
read
Torah.
Those things, too. I wouldn't say don't read those, but see if any of those offer you forgiveness of sins and everlasting life and make sense like the Bible does. And you'll conclude, like billions have, that the Bible is true. And you can have forgiveness
have
of sins. All right.
Just
well,
so
maybe
you know.
Read it again. Maybe thinking about sitting on the hot seat in front of God all by yourself, having to give an account for your entire life. Read it from that perspective. And maybe that'll bring some clarity to it. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. Ian, I had a guess. Thank you very much. I'm glad we tripped
Not
into each other.
Not a problem.
I don't think it was an accident. All right?
We'll see.
Yeah, we will indeed. All right, dude. See All ya. Right. Thanks
Have
for the chat.
One.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.